your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Everyone, this is Jen Cruz, and this is the Journey Radio Show. Tonight, I've got a very special guest on. He's going to be connecting real soon. And we've got Squatchman returning tonight. And also with Squatchman, I've got my fellow She Squatcher, Jenna Grover. Hi, Jenna.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. Very good. So our lovely producer, our amazing producer, Sarge, is going to connect us with Squatchman here momentarily because, you know, Skype is being Skype. So here we go. We're just going to go straight for the phone.
Hey, well, I tell you what, Jen, I am so excited he wanted to do this again.
I know.
He said he had such a good time last time. So when he said he would be interested in doing it again, I just thought, wow, that's so cool. He's so awesome.
He is so awesome. I was enjoying his posts on Facebook this week, watching his camping trip from the weekend. I can't wait to ask him about that.
Oh, yes.
I can't believe they were going camping in 16 degrees.
And didn't you make some kind of comment about an insulated beard?
I was noticing that the people in his camping crew were all had these wonderful beards going on, like ZZ Top type thing.
The number you have reached is not in service.
Uh-oh.
Please check the number and dial again.
S-P-O-K.
Let me do you again. It's the wrong number, Sarge. Let me give it to you again. I am going to type that in. Jenna, can you just keep talking, please?
Well, sure. Let's see here. Jen asked me to come on the show tonight. I was excited because I knew Squatchman was going to be here. And I don't know if you guys have any questions out there, but you guys can sure get on and type those in. Let us know your questions, and we'll be happy to ask them. Just make sure to...
There it is. Yeah.
You got it?
That would be perfect. Oh, I typed it back in. So it was probably a typo on my end, because I checked the number that I typed in before. It didn't seem like the same one.
Aww. Sorry, so, I kind of just fell off there.
It's all good. It's all good. So I'm actually still just getting into the chat room myself. So anybody who's listening on a different outlet, our chat room is located at para-x.com. And you just click on the chat now button so that you can join the chat room. So, yeah, but I guess my plugin isn't responding for that myself.
Well, I'm going to try it on my end. Boy, there's okay. a lot of problems out there right now with a lot of the different elements. Do you think it has to do? Do you think it has anything to do with the what is going on right now? The lowering of the... Oh, I can't remember, Jen.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jenna.
Oh, no, you can't read my mind. I forget. I always think you could read my mind. And you know what? No one can, but I think if anybody could, it would be you.
Well, sometimes I can. So yeah.
No, I was just thinking about the different, you know, when the planets move and there are changes in the solar system.
Hello, Squatchman, is that you?
Yes.
Hey.
Awesome. Welcome back to the show.
I can't believe Skype, man. I just don't have no luck on that thing.
Well, we're having troubles today, too, so it's not just you.
Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah, I've been calling since 9:30 or 8:30 your time.
Yeah, yeah, and I've been here trying to call you, but it says you weren't online. So
yeah, the hookup I used last time. You know, Jen Greaves, Psychic Sisters. I mean,
Yep. I don't know what to tell you. It says you weren't online, and it was going straight to. It wouldn't even ring. It would just hang up right away.
Yeah,
so
it's weird.
It is weird. Well, at least we got you on this way. Welcome back to the show. We're on the air.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Yes, and Jenna's here with us too.
Hello,
yes.
Jenna.
Hey, how are you doing, Greg?
Hanging in there.
Hanging in, hanging on?
Yeah, getting pretty cold up here in Indiana.
I've been looking at your pictures you've been posting online. They're awesome.
Yeah, we had a very cool weekend, very cold, but it was a pretty neat one. Found a lot of stuff you can see in the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So the listeners out there, Greg went camping in a tent, 16 degrees this weekend, I heard, in Indiana, at your hot spot there. So tell us what happened.
Well, we went on a little hike back there behind camp, you know where it's at, and we found all kinds of neat structures, and we found a double tree bow, like two side-by-side trees, and I've never seen this before. And it's in my pictures, and they were bowed exactly the same way, all the way down, and they were crisscrossed and weaved together, like making an X at the end of the trees. And that was a pretty, different thing we found. Like I said, I haven't seen that before. And then we seen a pine tree, and about the bottom, the bottom four sets of limbs, all the other limbs were growing up. These limbs were all curved down, it was like making some kind of art out of this tree, and we got pictures of that too. And but probably the neatest thing was that about a 5-foot log that was stuck in the ground, the frozen ground. So, it took a lot of force to, wedge that thing in the ground. And as we were walking up the creek, this is behind the campground and not the other creek I took y'all to. And there was like a 2-foot stick stuck in the ground about 3 or 4 inches. And I showed the other guys and then I pulled it out. You can see where it was wet, so it wasn't frozen or nothing like the rest of the ground. So apparently they just stuck it in there right before we got up there. And I just found one of them a few weeks ago also. So that's a new thing they're doing. Just taking a long stick and poking it right in the ground right where I'm coming at. And, that's, like I said, that's twice in 2 weeks that's happened. And, other than freezing out there, then we went back to camp and that Saturday night, me, Eugene, and his girlfriend, we were sleeping in one tent. John Gregory had his tent and Jay was in his camper. Another buddy of mine, he brought his camper down and, it wasn't that bad. We had a Mr. Buddy heater. And Eugene went out to use the bathroom, and he came back in. He zipped the tent back up, and on Jay's camper up, he was parked like 50, 60 feet from her tent, up behind the picnic tables, and he had a porch light on, and it was illuminating a light from the porch light in the tent. So, I got a white bottom to my tent. So if anybody, walked by or anything, I mean, you could see them pretty good, the shadow. if they walked by the tent, as soon as Eugene got up and got back in, he woke me up getting out and stuff. So he's like, "Oh, Dad, it's freezing out there." And then all of a sudden, he smacks me on the arm. He's like, look, do you see that?" And I'm like, "What, son, what?" He goes, "Man, a Bigfoot just walked right in front of the tent, man." He goes, "His legs were bent, and I seen him, man, 3 steps right in front of the tent, right where I was at." I'm like, "No, I didn't see it." And I opened up the tent and looked out. I didn't see him. But, I mean, Eugene's always spot on with stuff like his. So, you know, I didn't doubt him at all. So, they were definitely around all weekend. And we heard a couple of hollers, a few tree knocks, you know, light ones, nothing heavy. Yeah, he was just letting us know they were out there. And I gave him a big tray of gifts, a lot of, you know, actually, I liked your idea with the breakfast bars. I had like 18 of them, a bunch of donuts, honey rolls, and I got a big jar of peanut butter, and we put that out there on the stump. But I didn't think they liked Jay's camper or, you know, something was different because they didn't take anything, nothing at all.
Oh, wow.
So me and John was talking about, you know, why, and, you know, why now than the other times when they take it within hours. Mm-hmm. So we came up with the decision that, you know, they were probably paranoid and suspicious about a big camper there. It's usually just me and John with our tents. And, you know, I mean, it was different. You know, then he had the light on. You know, they probably was wondering, you know, what was that all about? Even though he did walk, he walked right in front of the tent. This is probably 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And so, that's all we could come up with.
In the pictures, that light looked red on that camper. Was it a red light?
Well, actually, he had a whole string across the camper, and they could turn white, green, red. And that one picture you seen, you know, that was his Christmas picture. He turned them all on red. Yeah, you know, so it's like a light bar that goes across the front of his camper. So, on that particular picture there, yeah, they were all red. But he could turn them green, yellow, blue. I mean, it's pretty neat the way he had it. And but he didn't have that light on. He just had a little orange light, you know, like a regular porch light.
Okay.
He just had the light bar on for a while.
Mm. Well, maybe that could have been giving him something to think about, something way different, that light bar.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was something different. And, coming, you know, for me, they're like, "Wait a minute." They had to think. Well, this guy never brings, nothing like this. And, you seen how big that camper was.
Yeah, it looked pretty big.
That's all I can think of. Yeah, either mm-hmm. that or, I don't know. Either that or they didn't like something else was going on. I mean, I can't really pinpoint it. That's the only really definitive thing I can come up with. Because easily, like I say, when I put it out there, I can go back there in 2 or 3 hours and sit on it, and my morning is totally gone. But, when we put it out there Saturday night and Sunday morning, it was all there. So we left about noon, and here it is Wednesday. I think I'm going to drive up there tomorrow and check on it and see what's going on. I'm sure it's gone now. But I had that big jar of peanut butter, and Big John really twisted it tight. So, I mean, yeah, no squirrel or raccoon's going to unscrew this. So I'm kind of anxious to get up there and check it out.
Oh, wow, you left it closed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that way, you know, it takes a hand to open it. And seeing what I'm hoping to do is get you know, you get some big finger dips in there, you know, or stick two or three of his fingers in, you know, and get a big chunk, you know, a big wad of peanut butter out, you know, maybe leave it like that, and then I can cast it. You know, that's what
I'm trying to do.
Yeah, you know, just something different. But the thing about it, the last two jars were completely wiped clean. So, I mean, they really love that peanut butter.
Now, you left it closed before?
Yes. The last one, well, we seen the post I put you know, a while back, you know, when we found the jar I put up in the tree. Well, it was fit back on. You know, it was tight, and the seal was still on it. And when we found it, the lid was back on, and it was only screwed like once or twice. It was real loose. And there was a hole where some little forest critters, you know, bit a hole in it. And yeah, I guess it got out to, you know, whatever, you know, the squatch didn't get. So, but, I mean, that just tells you right there, you put the lid back on. I mean, that's how smart these people are. Yeah, I mean, you figure you just take it off and throw it, you know, that would be my guess. But after he got everything he could get out of there, yeah, you know, he put the lid back on. He didn't screw it on tight. Like I said, it was one or two turns, and that's how we found it laying on the ground about 100 feet from the tree that we put it on. And then this past weekend, you know, 2 weeks ago, we were out there camping also, and we put another big jar out. You know, John Gregory brought one, and this was crunchy. And we sat that out there Saturday night. And Sunday morning, you know, the whole tray of donuts, everything was gone. The peanut butter was gone. And this was Sunday morning. We're pretty busy, you know, with breakfast, packing up and leaving. So we really didn't have time to go look for it. But this past weekend, we did a whole grid search of the whole area back there. And we could not find that jar of peanut butter anywhere. So John says, well, I tell you right there, they carried it pretty far away. You know, and a raccoon or a squirrel or nothing like that's going to carry a jar of peanut, you know, a 2 pound jar of peanut butter over a mile away.
Right.
So, oh, so I mean, yeah, hopefully I'm going to go out tomorrow and see if I can find that one too. But, I mean, it's pretty interesting, though. I mean, well, what'd they do with it? You know, it seems like they'd eat it there, but no, maybe he took it back to his young ones. I mean, who knows what they did with it.
Yeah.
Well, that could be. That's a nice little sweet treat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mm-hmm. I've got a question for you. Now, when you're out there, can you see? I know when it's winter, there's not the roughage that's covering everything. Are you able to see them easier? I think we had talked about this before, and you mentioned that they like to crawl, so they are either very high or very low on the ground. Is that what you were saying? Can you explain that?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, well, most people think they're just going to be, you know, walking through there like me or you. But in most cases, you know, they're down on the ground crawling. You know, if you're around, that way that's going to put your chances of seeing one way down. And not too many people ever look up in trees, and they love climbing trees. I mean, they can sit up there and watch you for hours, and you wouldn't even see them. I mean, it is easier to see, you know, like all the leaves are gone now. And, you know, in the cold, you know, I notice when it's really cold out and really windy like it's been, you know, they don't like going up in trees. Yeah, I guess that frigid Arctic air blowing through here. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine being up in a tree? Yeah, it'd be pretty cold.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yes, yeah, so I think usually during the winter, I think that's just a summer habit. But I think more and more in the wintertime, you know, they're going to stay more concealed down closer to the ground, you know, when there are no humans around. You know, but the trick is to, you know, see one before he sees you. You know, that way you can get a good visual on them. And that has happened a few times in the wintertime. Yeah, you know, I was I was casting a, I got a baby print, and you know, I don't know if I told you this before, but you know, I'm probably one of the only few people around that's got a baby print. You know, I was telling you this last interview, and a toddler, you know, and I was sitting there looking at it, and you know, I was casting them and everything. It was a cold winter day. I mean, it was freezing out there, and this is the creek I took y'all to.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome, and they were beautiful, beautiful prints, too. I mean, a little baby and a juvenile bigger than the, you know, like her big brother was out walking her. And just 6 months earlier, I seen the baby and the mom in the cave. That's where I got that picture at. So I was thinking, I wonder if this is that baby up walking. You know, 6 months later, it takes humans about a year before they start walking. And, you know, if that's how fast they're... you know, their babies grow. I mean, that was a pretty significant find, if it was, in fact. I mean, I don't know how many babies are being born out there, but you know, I've seen that one, and that was in July. So you figure, you know, right at the end of February, beginning of March is when I got the prints. Well, anyway, you know, I'm thinking all this, and I'm really intense in my work. You know, I like daydreaming about, you know, what if, you know, are they still around? I mean, they were pretty fresh. You know, is mom around? So all of a sudden, up on the ridge or to the left, I see a big brown object walking. And it was walking just like a man or a woman. So I'm like, well, man, what's a hiker doing out here up there on that ridge? I mean, I never see nobody out in the forest, you know, in my areas. I mean, pretty dense forest. I mean, you've been there, and he was all in browns. It's the first thing I said is, man, it looks like a guy works at UPS.
That's so funny.
That's what I was thinking, so I went ahead and looked up there, and the UPS man was about a 9-foot female. Yeah, I seen her breast. That's why I knew she was a female, and it wasn't a really big, you know, the big Squatch, you know, most people describe, you know, big bulky. I mean, she was, you know, she was tall and lanky, you know, kind of like a big basketball player, you know, like a Shaquille O'Neal kind of body. I mean, not overly huge, but I mean, big, but, you know, not massive. And, you know, and I guesstimated she was about 9 feet because I looked at her pretty good. I've seen her take about 7 or 8 steps, and then she went down over the ridge. So she covered about 60 feet, you know, the time I watched her. So I said they're getting kind of nervous. I was like, well, I hope she don't look down here, man. I don't want a confrontation.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, you've been here 40 minutes casting these prints. She's probably was sitting right over there watching you, amused that you were probably casting her children's footprints. And then and I was almost done, and then she got up and walked away before I left. So, so I think that was a gift to me. You know, I think she was reading my thoughts, you know, about the baby and the adolescent walking the baby and the mother. Mm-hmm. I was thinking all this, and she was right up there, you know, probably enjoying every bit of it. And she got up, and I mean, perfect view, and walked, you know, right down the ridge. You know, and this is right in wintertime, no green, no leaves. And she was a reddish, like a reddish blackish one, you know, real beautiful fur. And it was a really good look at her. And she went over that ridge and boom, gone.
Wow.
Oh, that's neat. That's so neat.
Yeah, you know, especially when you put hand in hand about the picture I got July 4th weekend, you know, with the mama and the baby. I mean, the more I look at that picture, it looked like her I seen in March. The same color hair, same kind of body. You know, that wasn't an overly sized big one in there. You know, so, you know, the females. Yeah, I mean, from what I see, the females are, you know, maybe not half as the size of the big males, but, yeah, I mean, they're closer, they're closer to us than we are to them else, put it that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, no, I've got a question here. So when you're out there, and this is probably what a lot of people are thinking too, when you go out there, do you bring a camera or anything? Because I know you said you basically saw her, which is amazing in itself, but I'm sure a lot of people are wondering why you don't bring cameras. I think you touched on that last time, but.
Yeah, I'll go over it real quick. I did get the picture of Curious George. Like I told you, because he was young, naive, and he probably didn't know the way. He made a huge mistake, and I capitalized on his mistake. And this is back when I was first started doing it anyway. So I wanted to get a picture because everybody at work, kept teasing me. Where's your proof? Where's your proof, man? There ain't no such thing as Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
You're out there chasing a myth. So, I did have the little Samsung phone. I still got a little slide-up phone. They don't even sell them anymore. And I hid that in the palm of my hand, and he didn't even see it. He didn't know what I was doing. I'll tell everybody I out-squatched the squatch. I was looking to the left, taking pictures to the right, and I could barely see him out of the corner of my eye. And then when I got the picture with the mother, I was only like 6 months later. So I got zapped when I took her picture. So after I got zapped that day, I told you what happened to me. I said, well, maybe they don't want their pictures taken. I said, if they could do that to me, what else could they do? I go, I'm just going to, from here on out, this is going to be... my ears, my eyes, and my brain. I said, my brain's my computer, my eyes is my camera, and my ears are my audio. And I will let these people, really trust me that I ain't out there trying to, manipulate them, get them on camera, get their faces all over social media. Like I said in the last interview, that these people don't want that. So I think I'm honoring their wishes and giving them the respect that they deserve. And since the years that I have used none of this stuff, my encounters just keep getting better and better and better. So I think when people have encounters, it's like the James Bond movie, For Your Eyes Only. They pick and choose who they want to show themselves to. I like to reiterate, you keep going out there with, all this expensive high-dollar equipment. You may get something. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate what the other people are going to do. I just worry about what I do. And I can testify that I have taken a lot of people out to my spot, and we figured it up the other night. Out of at least the 30 guests that I've had out there, 80% of them have had a Force people sighting. So that's pretty good odds.
Nice.
So it's all about trust. They trust me totally. That's why they walked right in front of my tent the other night. They love being around me. They're like, well, this guy loves us, man. He comes out here 16 degrees, freezing. He doesn't have no hair or nothing, and he's out here giving us gifts. They understand all that.
That reminds me. I interviewed Barry Fitzgerald from Ghost Hunters International quite some time ago, and he was saying he categorizes Bigfoot in a category of beings with the little people and a bunch of other aliens even. He calls them the others. Anyway, he said that when they go out and take groups out without any cameras or anything like that, these people have some serious experiences that they seem to come to them. And the people have more personal experiences when they don't bring the equipment with them. So, that just reminded me of what you were just saying. Reminded me of that. So I thought I'd share that. That's a little confirmation from Ireland, because he's in Ireland.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know the gentleman, but yeah, sounds like he's on the right page.
Yeah. And with that, we are at the half an hour, so we have to take a little break. So we're going to be back in 2 minutes. Stay tuned, everybody.
Moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Evening, paranormal lovers. My name is Ra, and I'm reporting from the subterranean lair of the Mystical Spiral Radio. If you're looking to listen to the best paranormal discussions this side of the Kuiper Belt, then tune in every Friday from 8 to 9 p.m. and awaken to the beauty of your own consciousness. That's Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern. Let the Para-X Radio Network upgrade your gray matter. Spiral out.
Hi, this is Master Tarot Card Reader Ken Bogle, and I highly encourage you to tune in every Monday night to the Para-X Radio Network for the Para-Cave, hosted by Matt Gesso, as he goes in search of the truth in the supernatural, metaphysical, mystic, and paranormal. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, only on the Para-X Radio Network. I never miss it, and neither should you.
Nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is Jen Cruz, and this is the Journey Radio Show. I have got my fellow She Squatcher, Jenna Grover, on the line, and we have a very special guest, Squatchman, also known as Greg Yost out of Indiana. He is a well-known Bigfoot researcher, and he's friend of Bigfoot down there. So we've actually had the pleasure of being to his hotspot. So welcome back to the show, Greg.
Awesome. Good to be here.
Yes. We had a question in the chat room that I wanted to make sure to get back to. So this seems like a good enough time. Kat was wondering about the bended trees that are stuck, you know, that are growing out of the ground, but stuck, they get bent over into a rounded shape and stuck back into the ground. She was wondering about those, how they could be a shelter. And I remember I used to feel that same way about those. And so I thought we'd pose that question to you, because I have a different view on it now, but we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well actually, the bow trees, I call them the McDonald arches. They're not shelters of any type. The shelters are usually, the big nest looking, like you had at the crypto show on your video. Mm-hmm. Big nest, the teepee. Yeah, I mean, the big matrosities like that. But the bowed trees that are bowed all the way over and usually touching the ground, and are usually stabilized by a log or a big rock that they put on the tip of the tree. And, and what this means, or what this is, I talked to a good friend of mine. She's a Kentucky girl, but she lives out in Washington now. And I took her to my hot spot. And we were both discussing, and we both agreed that they're like energy showers. It's completely grounded. It's coming out of the ground. It's bowing all the way over, and then it's going back to the ground. And what this is, they build these for energy showers, and they go through them. And it's hard for us to understand what it means, but to them, being very special people, which they are, that they can harness the energy from the universe, something we can do. you know, way, 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 way back when, a man probably knew how to, but nowadays he doesn't have a clue. But the forest people, they're really keen to this, and this is what they're doing. And they really like making them for their youngins. That's why you see a lot of small ones, too. But I have seen some huge ones, like 4 or 5 inch trees bowled all the way over. So, I mean, it's a work of art. And you got to be very strong to do something like that.
That's for sure. Because I know someone in the chat room was asking if maybe kids made these as forts. And I was like, I don't know how they could do that, because I know I couldn't bend that tree myself.
No, some of these trees, no man couldn't do it if he had a construction crew out there. And, you know, maybe some of the little TPs you see. Yeah, I mean, you can't rule out Boy Scouts, different survivalism, maybe even homeless people who can make shelters living out in the woods. But they don't need to have 100% positive proof, though. I mean, you'd have to have video of Squatch actually building it. So you can look at it and study it, but... You know, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, I mean, you don't know really, you know somebody had hands. So it was either the forest people or a human. But you're out in the middle of nowhere, out in deep forest, chances are a human's not going to waste his time. You're trying to hoax somebody or living out there when you see no evidence of a human whatsoever. If a human was out there camping or living in that structure, you would find something. Water bottle, a water bottle top, a cigarette, food wrappers, a fire pit, anything. But the ones we always find, they don't have none of this, so... So usually, I got a point that, I got to scratch out the human, the human part of it doing it. But like I said, though, there's only 100% way to know for sure, and that's if you see them doing it, a human or a Squatch. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I've been noticing when we, the more I look at, the footage that we've taken ourselves, and then go back and look at pictures that we took at your hotspot. I'm getting to know more of what to look for. And that's why I keep going back and looking at the pictures that we took while we were at your hotspot to see, do I notice something more there now? And it seems like every time I do that, I see something else that I didn't notice before. And one of the things that I'm starting to think about these bended trees, or even the little teepee structures, is are they blending their energy with them in order to hide in plain sight as well? Is it a way of hiding? Because a native person told me years ago how to hide in plain sight by standing right next to a tree and to blend your energy with the tree. And... if you successfully do that, anyone who comes by will just see the tree there. And if they notice anything, it might be that they see a face, something that looks like a face in the bark of the tree, but they wouldn't actually see you standing there. So I'm wondering if this may be a trick that Bigfoot is actually using as well.
Yeah, well, actually, you're going down the right path on that one, Jen. Like I stated on our last show, I believe, the Squatch people are, interdimensional people that are spiritual, and they're high positive energy people, and, they can travel in orbs, in our physical presence, like a Bigfoot, and their energy is so high. Like I was telling you on the last show, if you're a low-energy person, living in the box, negativity, you know, all that factors into the equation. People like me or you, we're high energy people. We got open minds. We use the third eye. A lot of people talk about. We use our whole brain instead of half of it. We're adventurous. We definitely think outside the box. And all this comes into play, either having good encounters with the Squatch or not having good encounters. You're right. They could be standing right next to a tree, and some people could go right by them and not even see them. But somebody like me or my son, there's a lot of high-energy people, we're going to see them. Just like a lot of your camera pictures of them, they're blurry and whatnot. Well, that's what I explained it again. It's the high energy. I mean, their energy is off the chart, and our energy is nowhere, close to matching theirs, unless you put in the law of attraction, which I explained last week. Where a high positive energy is going to be attracted to another high positive energy. And that's why I'm so successful, and I see so many, is because of that reason. And again, you're right that they can do a lot of things like that, and it's another reason that they stay undetected in the wintertime. Some people believe that they actually even live in the trees to begin with. I'm not a completely sold on that yet, but I mean, I've heard that from people.
That they live in the trees?
Yeah, as a spiritual being, their energy. I mean, that's why they travel as orbs. I mean, you got the orbs when we got out in my forest when you came. I mean, we had that big one, a basketball-sized orb on one side of the tree, right where I was standing. Then the next picture you took, it was on the other side. And I didn't move at all. This orb was traveling. And, again, that's what makes them special. That's what, a lot of people, won't agree with me. They're like, well, they can't do that. They can't do that. Hey, well, if in fact they are from another planet, why can't they do that? I mean, they're gonna, just like aliens, they got a lot more, wisdom and smarts about them than us. I mean, we're supposed to be the smartest people on Earth, but yet we can't get a good picture of one, we can't capture one, shoot one. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Yeah, I mean, if there was just strictly a big bipedal animal out there walking around, I mean, you ain't going to be able to outsmart man for thousands and thousands of years. I mean, man knows what everything is in the woods is. But yet, Bigfoot even hasn't been proven. So I mean, a lot of people say it's a myth. So you gotta again go outside the box, and everything I have been seeing, with the lights and the orbs, the eye shine, you gotta put all this together, and the big picture tells me that they are not an animal, that they are interdimensional beings, and they travel to and from Earth through portals and UFOs that I have witnessed. So again. I mean, some people may have a hard time believing this, but I only speak the truth as what I have seen.
I know last time you were on the show, you mentioned about being a, what do you call it, UFO mountain? Or is that what you call it? Oh, yeah. Okay.
UFO mountain. Good
yeah, you took us up there. You took us up there. Now, you said that they were chasing after it, like where they were trying to, what do you know? What it seemed like, why they were chasing after it?
Well, not really chasing after it. They all run to it.
Okay.
As this big, bright locomotive light was coming through the woods over a 400-foot ravine, which was closer to the road than over the open ravine. I mean, you know, completely silent, you know, no noise at all. And they were all standing there watching us until this light came, and that's when they all took off running right to it. So, wow. And then 2 months later, we see it again. You know, no Bigfoots, it's just the lights. So I mean, yeah, there's something going on up around UFO Mountain. I mean, there's a lot of UFO activity up there, and there's a lot of Bigfoot activity up there. So, I mean, put two and two together again. You know, I'm not just throwing stuff out there. You know, I'm just telling you with what I've seen, with what my buddy John Gregory has seen, my son Eugene, his girlfriend Tanya. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You know, Jay seen his first orb out there. You know, this is on UFO Mountain, and it is about a softball size one, bright light white, shoot down from the trees right in front of them, then shoot back up on the other side. They're going up that way. And he talked about that last weekend. He goes, I've been doing this 44 years, Greg. He goes, and I have never seen an orb. Pretty wild, ain't it?
Nice. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Jenny.
Oh, yeah, I had a question. Sorry to interrupt. I was wondering, with all of your experience and everything that you are doing, do you record this? I mean, are you writing this down? This would be amazing information for people that just want to learn about it. And I know that there's no possible way that we can say that we're exactly right, that, you know, that there's a specific truth. But are you recording some of your information?
Well, actually, Jen, I don't record anything. Everything's in my computer, which is my brain. I can tell you every incident like it happened yesterday. Anybody that knows me, they say I got the best memory they've ever seen on a human. I mean, I remember stuff that happened back my whole life. I mean, it's amazing what I remember. And I remember, and I'm very articulate to attention to detail. And, I don't miss nothing. I don't misinterpret anything. And, what I see is what I see. And one day I would like, I may write a book or have somebody write a book about all my encounters, my pictures, all my structures.
That was my next question.
something like that. I mean, that would be interesting. I mean, I could teach a whole lot, just with my experience and what I have seen. And again, I have done this all myself. You know, ever since the Ferdinand charge, down off that hill I told you about in the last interview, I told myself that's my goal in life now. I'm going to get to the bottom of the Bigfoot mystery. I'm going to find out what I need to find out. Who are they? What are they? And where do they come from? And so far, I think I'm doing a really good job. That's why I will go out and put my reputation and my credibility on the limb when I say stuff like this, because I've seen it. Yeah, I mean, I cannot lie to people. I mean, what we have seen is not normal. It's paranormal. And then you see one phenomenon, which is 15 Bigfoots with eye shine. Which, that was mind-blowing right there. Then you see another phenomenon with a light as bright as a train locomotive coming through the woods, and all the biggies take off to the light. For a sane man, that's a lot to process. But cut and dry, though. I truly believe they are related somehow. And I'm hearing too many stories, about the same thing I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm not the only one seeing this. I told you about the farmer, 70-year-old farmer, Heartland of Indiana, telling me, his neighbor, you know, old man and his wife, seen a UFO hoovering out in their cornfield, a light beam come out, and a UFO come down out of the light beam. I mean, this man wouldn't lie to me. I mean, he was up there in the park. He was going to a wedding. He came up to me and told me this. So, there's something there.
I agree.
I agree, too. I really do. I have a couple of questions in the chat room for you. Somebody was wondering if you've ever seen any evidence or anything leading you to believe that Bigfoot uses any tools when they're building any structures. And the other question was, how long have you been doing this?
Well, I answered the second one. I'm going on my 17th year, and I go out a lot. I probably camp out. At least over 100 nights a year, and then that ain't counting afternoon hikes and so forth. But as far as tools, yes, I have got pictures. I can send them to you later. Well, I got pictures where they looks like they bit real hard sticks up at the top, like half of it off, where they had like a fork. Real hard wood. I couldn't even break it. And two incidents, they were laying up against a log that had, like, holes drilled in them. And I'm talking perfectly round holes, like 2 inches wide and 3 inches deep. And it looks like a drill. And you can see the shavings of the wood, and on the sticks, the bark was wore down. The friction caused the bark, it was real smooth, almost like sandpaper went across them. As a matter of fact, I got both the sticks in my evidence box I took home with me. They probably didn't like it, but they were laying just up against a tree with these holes. I guess they were digging for bugs and maggots, whatever, grubs, and they just left them there, and, like they went on a lunch break or something, and, we just stumbled up on them, and wow. But the structures, they just use, pure muscle and strength for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's mainly, breaking trees and, building the big, like I showed you, the big log going through. I mean, you can't use tools for that. That's just all muscle there. That shows you how powerful these people are.
That's incredible.
There was another question in the chat room. Outside of having higher energy, do you think that there are other reasons why they're attracted to you, but yet still kind of skittish? And do you feel that you have to prove yourself to them somehow to fully gain their trust and enter their world?
I am kind of still kind of skittish around them. I think anybody would be lying that said they're not. Just their size and their massive bill, man, is intimidating for anybody. Imagine what these people could do to you if you pissed them off. So that's the most important thing, gaining their trust. And I'm sure they feel the same way about me. They love me and they trust me, but yet on the other hand, they're probably still got that bit of concern. You think this guy, he seems full of love and he seems like a great man and everything, but you know what I mean? Are they still mad at me because I took their picture? That's how smart they are. Again, I believe they can read your thoughts. Because everything I say, man, it seems like it happens. But far as, if I want to tell the person in the chat room, the best way you can interact with them, and this is my philosophy. First you got to be aware. You'll let them be aware that they're there. You'll start leaving them gifts. Bananas, apples, donuts, breakfast bars. you know, do it at the same place, like a stump or somewhere up high to keep the other animals away. Yeah, you can build you a little basket up in a tree, you know, a vanilla basket, you know, 7-8 feet in a tree, and let them go from there. And then they'll start leaving you stuff. I mean, they leave me rocks. I mean, they can't leave me food, I imagine. But, I mean, I have had rocks and look like a pyramid on a log across the creek. I've had them set up, you know, like bowling balls stacked up. I mean, they do all kinds of things with them. And every time I come across, I'll clap my hands. I'll hold my hands up in the air, and I will verbally, out loud, thank them. Oh, thank you, my people. I love it. This is beautiful. You know, they're out there watching you. So, yeah, show them appreciation for what they're doing for you. And you keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And anybody, it starts with your heart, man. You got to have a good heart and a good soul. And that will be your guide down the path. And that will take you anywhere you need to go when it comes to the forest people. And I have covered a lot of road, but believe me, Jen, there's still a lot of miles ahead. I still have a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't happen overnight.
Oh, it certainly doesn't. That's for sure. That's for sure. I am so excited to have you on the show again tonight. I can't believe the show is almost over. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that was a quick hour.
I know.
Started.
I know. It feels so fast.
Awesome.
I had shared the link to thejourneyradioshow.com. The last show that we did last week is uploaded on there, and I uploaded some pictures on there. So tell the listeners out there who are not in the chat room, thejourneyradioshow.com, and then scroll down on that page to the very first link on there, which is the show from last week. And I've uploaded some pictures there that were taken at Squatch Man's hotspot, and that Jenna and I got to go camp at. Now, we had along with us was on my cell phone to take pictures, so we were not prepared to be out investigating a place. But we had an amazing, fantastic time out there with you, Greg. Thank you so much for inviting us to come out.
Yeah, I can't wait for y'all to come back.
Oh, me too. we have to figure out how many days we can spend out there before our loved ones will want us home.
Oh, jeez. We need to get this teleportation thing down so we can just sneak off real quick.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
Yeah, go through a portal.
Oh.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, walk through a portal in Minnesota and come out in Indiana.
There you go. There you go. That would be amazing. I'm all for this. I'm all for this. Well, Greg, can you let anybody know who, if there's a place that they can connect with you online, if you'd like them to or not?
Well, like I said, I'm on Facebook. I'll friend anybody who wants to follow me. I don't have a YouTube channel or nothing. I don't have anything. I'm not in it. I could care less what people think of me. I'm just trying to show people the truth. And, it don't, just like books and all that. I mean, I'm not like a lot of researchers. I mean, I could care less about proving anything to anybody. Yeah, this is a personal journey. Just like a good name for your show, The Journey. Well, this is my journey. And whoever wants to jump on board, I got a big train. So, I mean, you're welcome to jump on board and follow the Squatch Man. Because I will take you down the right path. I can assure you that.
That is so awesome. And with that, we are at the end of the show, everyone. Thank you again, Squatchman, for coming on the show. And don't hang up. Just stay with us for a moment. And okay. Good night, everyone. See you next week.
All right.